Come with you.
Yes, sir. Can you also hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes. Hello. It's Roy.
Oh, hey, Roy. It's Michael here. Just waiting just a couple more minutes to get a couple of other people online before we start, I think.
You might want to join us in the chat room, Roy.
Okay, I'm trying to get there.
Did you get a message with an announcement of the meeting with Dallas?
Yeah, I have a bunch of links on it, and I got to figure out which one is which.
Oh, the one that says subhub.org.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, that one. If you're in there, then you may be featured as anonymous. Then please change anonymous to your full name in a capital case, if you can.
Is there anything specific you wanted me to do? You mentioned something about scores. I could look into this, but I see that I cannot edit the document right now.
That's strange. It's simple anyone to edit.
Is it? Okay.
You might have to sign in to your Google account.
I am signed in.
Okay.
Well, maybe I'm signed in with the wrong... I have two Google accounts. I'll try with the other one. But, Till, did I get this right? That it would make sense if I wrote up on this course as a use case?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay.
Actually, the document should be editable by anyone who has the link, so independent Google account to use.
Okay, I'll do a few experiments. But in any case, I can write this right after this meeting is over.
But I saw a lot of comments from you previously, Christoph. So you were in there at one time.
I know.
Yeah, so maybe we start. I cannot reach Fabian. And so, yeah, welcome to the OMPO IOP teleconference. And today's topic is mainly the RSP that we have to send out on next Monday. And there are already a couple of discussions going on the mailing list, and maybe we just go through the RSP and discuss what's remaining there to be done. And thanks for Roy and Conrad for joining us today from the OMG side, and Roy has also been willing to read the document and provide some comments, and we already got some very valuable comments from you, so thank you.
Yeah,
maybe we just go through the RSP section by section. Is this okay, or is there some... So then let's start with the title page and objective of this RSP. Are there any comments on this? Okay, then we start. We continue with section 6.1 problem statement. There has already been some change because previously we had there the sentence a great diversity of logical language with model theoretic semantics is in use for the purposes. This has been how to just speak about carrying a formal semantic there. The reason was that FUML apparently only has an operational semantic, not a model theoretic semantic, and that this distinction between operational and model theoretic semantics, although it's quite crucial, It's not important here. The important thing is that we have a formal, mathematically rigorous semantic, and not languages that just have an informal meaning. And once we have that, that in the scope of, so once we have a formal semantic, the languages are in the scope of OntoIO.
Agreed.
Okay.
Then the next change I've made, Fabian has complained that OntoIO suddenly appears as a notion in the use cases. I have introduced OntoIO before, so after this bulleted list, the second paragraph starts now, the OntoIO standardization effort addresses the problem that often the diversity makes interoperability of ontology models, specifications, and systems more difficult. So that's also new.
Well, I'm kind of wondering, this might be a question for Roy and Conrad. I mean, this is an RFP, so I'm just kind of wondering, because OntoIOP is, can we use OntoIOP as the name for what the RFP is, or does it have connotations of kind of what the standard will eventually be, you know, the response to the RFP? Because I worry if we use OntoIOP too much, then it makes it sound like, oh, this is already done.
No, but I would disagree, because OntoIOP is the name of the whole standard, and then of course we have to mention it in the RFP. We already have one possible answer to the RFP, and it's called the distributed ontology language DOL.
Okay.
But DOL does not appear at all in this RFP.
So then, okay, so I get a question for Roy and Conrad. Is it appropriate then to call it the OntoIOP standardization effort? Or do we simply just, as Kill, you know, said, if that's the title, just simply use OntoIOP as a kind of a proper name?
Well, the people at OMG don't know what OntoIOP is, so you can use it as the name of the RFP.
Right, because it is, yeah, as Kill said, I guess it is the title. Right, I mean.
Well, the title is usually, see, what right in front of the title is a request for proposal, meaning a proposal on whatever the title is.
Right.
So the title should describe what you're expecting people to propose.
Right, so it's the ontology model and specification integration and interoperability, OntoIOP. Right,
yeah, that. And if that happens to be the name used by some submission team already, I don't, the OMG A doesn't know that, and B, I don't think cares that much.
Right. But should the wording be here, the OntoIOP standardization effort, or just simply say, OntoIOP addresses the problem?
I'm probably not looking at exactly the same thing you are.
In the Google Doc, section 6.1, the paragraph right after the bulleted list.
In 6.1, paragraph after the bulleted list.
It says the OntoIOP standardization effort.
This should say, responses to this RFP are expected to address XYZ.
Mm.
Because it cast the whole thing as something you're putting out to industry and telling them what they have to bring back.
Right.
But at this stage, I'm not sure whether we want already to talk about responses. So maybe we leave out OntoIOP here altogether. But the problem was that...
It's true, it's the problem statement section, so if you want to cast it as that, you should say, you can just skip this part about who's addressing the problem and simply state the problem. And what...
What we had before. But then that in the use cases, we suddenly speak about OntoIOP, and this comes out of the middle of nowhere. And therefore, I wanted to introduce the term OntoIOP already in the problem statement, but now you say in the problem statement it's not adequate either. So...
Well, let's see. OntoIOP, I mean, expanded will be the title of the RFP, more or less. This is just stating a background problem, not related to OntoIOP, but that exists independently of OntoIOP. And so the problem statement really shouldn't refer to the RFP necessarily, except to the extent it wants to say something about what part of the problem the RFP is addressing.
Yeah, and the use cases do not refer to onto IOP. I don't know what how Fabian was talking about.
Yeah, I have changed that, actually. Previously they did. Yeah, okay, maybe it's okay now. Yeah.
Yeah, I like
the
way you changed it back, too. Yeah.
And in the use case, we know, Steve, about the solicited language. We see the user from the necessity to ban such full access and so on. Or should we say answers to the RFP should will see the user, but I'm not sure. It's not a not kind of a requirement. It's more a description of what all this is about. Therefore, initially I had said onto IOP will free the user from, and now Fabian says it should be the solicited language will free the user on from. But maybe we should also put onto IOP back there in order to refer to the name of the whole thing. I'm not sure.
So we're referring to this paragraph under the bullets and the
now he's looking at use case one.
Use case
one next page.
Put it on next page.
It doesn't hurt in the problem statement to say how you expect the responses to address some of the or that the parts of the problem you're expecting the responses to address, because part of the problem statement is sort of to lay out scope of what the responses are expected to address. So it's fine to say something like the solicited language, which I guess means the ones that are will come in the proposals, will have this positive effect on this particular use case. It's fine to say.
Right. I mean, it's common like the onto-IOP is suddenly used as a synonym for the language. That was my reason for my notes.
Yeah,
my actual.
Oh, sorry.
Right, yeah, I agree, you know, that we don't want to put the solution in the problem statement. So, so are we still talking about the phrase solicited language in use case one as a what do we want to use instead of that phrase?
Well, more on do you like saying it's just to say requested because this is a request for proposal.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. You can say solicited.
Okay, so we can just see that.
Yeah, and but actually, we should, instead of that language, we should need to use meta language, I think, because otherwise, you know, that was kind of something that came up a lot of discussions last meeting. This is more than just, this is not a, you know, one language, yet another language. It's a meta language.
Yeah, good point. Okay, the next issue, we have to go up a bit, just under this paragraph where we have this onto IOP. Now I have deleted this there. There's a paragraph ending with the logical theory in italics. And I have added that because we have spoken about ontology where we have had to, or we should speak about ontology, specifications, and formal models because we want to cover all the three. And now I have actually added a paragraph. Ontology, specifications, and models will, for the purpose of this document, enforce be subsumed under the notion of logical theory. And then in the sequel, I just speak of logical theory, or logical theory.
I tried to point out, although it has a disadvantage, of introducing a term like logical theory, which might sound rather academic.
Anyone has a better term for that? I mean, we could also say ontology, classification, and models everywhere, but it's a bit clumsy.
Well, we could just say that we could just choose one of these terms and say for the purpose of the document we mean that, take that to be the most general, which subsumes all of the others.
I'm a bit reluctant because ontologists would not say they are subsumed by models or specifications and vice versa.
So to say they have three words in the title and then say, oh, and by the way, we're just going to use one of those to stand for all three, and it's why are we bothering to have all three.
Then put in an acronym just to make it less clumsy.
What about OSM? Ontology, specifications, and models. So OSM.
Right.
Would this be okay?
I mean, maybe I'm the only one who thinks of the problem, but if, I mean, OMG I think they are very proud of the fact that they are industry driven. So if you start to talk about industry people about logical theories, I think we have the danger that their eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
They don't mind weird acronyms.
Yeah, I buy your point. I myself felt a bit uncomfortable to write logical theory everywhere. So I think OSM is a better solution. Okay, then we replace that. So the next issue is the use cases. So Fabian has complained that in use cases 3, 4, and 5 are a bit vague or a bit too less detailed. I have added some more motivation to use case 3, and I need, yeah, probably more work on use case 4 and 5.
I think 5 necessary though.
I mean, I'm involved in some research project about UML stuff, and that's what we were doing there.
Okay, all right.
So, but I don't mind if you find it not comprehensible, we can also delete it.
But no, if you have more detail to put in, I guess that's okay. But if this was just thrown in by somebody, oh, this is a good idea, but then there's nobody to elaborate it, then we should take it out. But if you have material to put in there, then go ahead.
Yeah. Although use case 4 is more thrown in use case.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know in principle there could be details, but I certainly don't have details easily accessible. I would have to ask people.
Well, I have never looked at other documents, but I'm sure Conrad has more experience. I would expect that it's not as important to have many use cases, but rather write them in a way that people who are not necessarily in the domain or have worked on it will understand why this is useful. I mean, isn't the use case basically giving you the justification why it's necessary or would be very desirable to have a new standard which covers that domain? So if the reason for use case is to have that, then it needs to be, you know, I think there needs to be more meat in just showing why this is what the problem is, what's the problem, and how does a specific, how would having a standard solve that problem? And you know, the formulation of use case 4, for example, it's just not answering that question. It's just leaving too much implicit, and that was true for some of the other use cases as well. Maybe somebody, Conrad, could you say something about, you probably have more experience with OMG. Could you say something about how they use these use cases, what the role they are playing in the requests for proposals?
Well, when they're the problem statement, they're just there to motivate OMG to issue the RFP.
Right.
They aren't required of the submission unless they're in the actual requirements section.
So the people who are the intended audience, the first intended audience from our perspective is OMG, right? Because this is the we need to convince the people to issue the RFP.
Yeah, and I think that's the first audience. And then the submitters will also use the problem statement, you know.
Right. So then I was not completely off the point. I think then this needs to be written in a way that people who are working for OMG or a part of OMG but are not necessarily specialists on this subject are able to see what the problem is and how having a new standard will solve the problem. And currently that's not written that way.
Right. So are we talking about, this is Roy. Are we talking about use case 3?
Actually, 4 and 5 more.
Okay.
But if you probably use three, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask that, the main thing we're trying to do in this section here is, indicate what is not available now. And so you're doing, you know, they don't need to do that too much. I mean, there doesn't need to be a lot. If we make a statement that such and such capability is not available now, then, I mean, unless somebody knows a solution, then that's fine. and so when we get to the requirements, and that was we were just working on at the last OMG meeting, we have all these requirements, and we're trying to say why it is that we have these requirements, and the reason is because of all the things that can't be done now, which is what we're talking about now.
Yeah, and the reason why we have 9 use cases and not less is exactly that we also refer to the use cases in the requirements section now. This was due to the feedback of the new Brunswick meeting. And we give every single requirement is basically backed up by 1 or 2 use cases.
Well, I wasn't arguing necessarily for having less use cases, just to have the use cases. I think the use cases should be written in a way that somebody who does not know much about the domain needs to understand, needs to see the problem and see why having a standard it would be a solution. So, for example, a temporal... If you just look at use case 4. Would be an example where I find it hard to say what the problem is and standard that meets the specification that is provided here would solve the problem. And if I can't figure it out without difficulties, in spite of the fact that I'm vaguely familiar with the project, I'm sure that the people who are completely new to it will have a problem as well.
Yeah, I agree. With use case 4, that needs to definitely be improved.
And the same I can say for use case 5.
Yeah.
I have the details, so I can provide some details.
Okay.
So yeah, when I look at the sentence in use case 4, I have to strain to figure out what is a temporal logic specification, and then I know what I feel like is a process model, but what is a process model with respect to that? And then I have to say I'm not too familiar with finite automation. Excuse me. So there's three things there that I think need to be expanded, is the temporal logic, the process model, and finite automaton.
And I completely agree. And the fourth thing would be, and you know, make explicit what the problem is that is currently, why the capability that would be required to do this isn't available yet now, and why it would be there if the standard would be there. So not only state the problem, but also state why this is covered.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would say, what grand and glorious things can now be done that can't be done now once we have,
right?
You know.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I will think of this, and maybe we have to reduce this use case because it's too difficult to provide these details, but maybe even.
Okay, yeah, I think if it was a paragraph instead of a sentence, I think it would be good.
Yeah. So then let's move on. Okay, there are some final comments in 6.2. There is the modularity operations are not explained. We can fix that. Also, distributed and heterogeneous logical theories are not explained. Anyway, logical theories should now be OSM. Okay. Pardon, could you repeat that?
I thought we had heterogeneous ontology in our glossary. Yeah, we have it in the glossary. Heterogeneous logical theory.
Do you think that when we can just use it here without introducing, or should we nevertheless introduce it?
What's best practice for these documents?
Or maybe we should say key glossary.
That will be good.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other terms that pop up that, you know, are defined in the glossary, to have key glossary whenever these terms pop up. Roy and Conrad, is there a best practice for this when a term, you know, it's defined in the glossary later in the document, but what do you do when it's first introduced? Or first used, sorry.
Well, there's not a convention, but, you know, a lot of authors italicize first use.
Yeah. Would that be sufficient?
Yeah.
Okay. So we could just then have, if we want to replace logical theories here with OSM, then we just have heterogeneous OSM, and that'd be italicized. And then there's in the glossary, we change it from heterogeneous logical theory to heterogeneous OSM.
Yeah. So structured logical theory in there.
Sorry.
Structured.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's in there. Okay.
So structured logical theory is also there. One point now in 6.3.1. So Fabian complained that this is just a list of OMG specification, but the relationship to the RFP are not discussed. I think they are, because I added some sentence. So some line of text and after each standard. The question is whether this is sufficient or there should be a whole paragraph.
Sorry, which section are we talking about?
6.3.1.
Oh, okay.
So the OMG specification. So one sentence after each specification, does this suffice, or should we have a whole paragraph explaining the relation of the OMG specification to the current RFP?
I'm not sure, but I think a lot of RFPs just list the other specifications without saying what their role is.
Yeah, I think a list is all you need.
Well, then maybe as would suggest to just change the heading from relationship to OMG specifications to something else.
No, but I think that's OMG language, the title of 6.3.
That's in a template. Let me look at some other RFPs here and see.
Yeah, again, so these just have just a list. You just name them.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that this is.
Yeah, that's just what
this,
you do.
This is all they want. It just seemed to, you know, the heading seemed to promise to tell us what the tell the reader what the relationship is to the of the new language to the existing specification. But that one.
Sorry, you're disappointed, but that's not what it does. You're right. It's just the name.
Some of them do. I mean, it really depends. I'm kind of looking up some. If you feel like you know something about it, you could say it. It's not meant to be like you need to avoid it.
No.
I'm just looking up.
Now that I think I have seen a sentence added to each one of these. But here, you've got that. You know, like the meta object facility is a meta language that will be used for the specification abstract syntax of languages. Yeah, that's fine. You don't have to even do that, but now that you got them, it's great.
Okay, good. Then we can leave things as they are. And MGA needs also one sentence. So I have made a comment. Unfortunately, I have to leave now because I travel between Magdeburg and Bremen all the way. I hope you can, Michael and Fabian and other, Christoph are there, Oliver, who also know much about Antoine. So, I'm sorry for that, and please have a good rest of the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. You have a good trip.
Thank you.
Okay, so I guess we are on 6.4. I think 6.4, again, the title, so Chris, in response to Christoph's comment, I mean, this is a standard part of the OMG template, so we just have to live with that.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Let's see. SQL. Let's comment here.
Well, I think we skipped. Well, it now disappeared. There was this comment about related but different.
Right.
6.3.
I have just removed it as Michael just explained that this is OMG terminology.
That is what. How can it be OMG terminology to say something is related to Antoine but with a different scope?
Sorry, Michael. Didn't I understand correctly that?
Well, no. See, this is related non-OMG activities. So.
No. That's not. I think you misread what. What the comment was about was on 6.3.2, the last thing. It says semantic modeling for the SIMS. SIMS is an RFP related to Onto IOP, but with a different scope. And I think the very reasonable question was,
how different?
I will reiterate. Thanks, Fabian, for explaining my own comment to me. I was confused.
I thought it was referring to 6.4. On my screen, it was lined up at 6.4.
I've restored the comment now. So I was wondering why the synth is, I mean, related but different is quite a fuzzy phrasing. It could apply to anything.
Yeah, I think that I stumbled across the same thing. So I think other people will as well. So it should be a little bit more specific than that.
Well, I think you're going to have a difficult time trying to explain what SIMP does.
Ooh.
That's a problem. I don't know what it does.
Okay.
Maybe
it also seems
Conrad
to,
does.
My understanding is that activity has become more abundant.
Okay.
But you can't say that in RC.
Yeah, they had a very ambitious set of goals.
Yeah, it seems like if they let that RFP through and they don't let this one through, we can complain about consistency of action. OMG.
Is that Corey's project? Was it Corey's project?
Yeah. He was the main motivator, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so maybe that is, it's unclear for that reason. I didn't realize that.
Well, if you're going to tell me something, I think I agree with Roy that it's going to be a little hard. You're going to have to study that RFP and try to figure out what it's saying and then,
Well, I'm wondering whether we can say something which is, maybe just deleting the sentence is better than having it that way. I'm not sure. It's basically begging for question.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's a moribund project, then no one's going to be alive to complain.
Well, the problem is that you won't get complaints from them. You'll get complaints from architecture board members who know what's out there, and they're going to say, well, if not understanding the difference, they'll understand it. They'll think there's other things going on. And to them, procedurally, the fact that the submitters are moribund doesn't mean anything because to them it looks like an active OMG request for proposal because it has the deadlines and it's all set out.
And even if they would think that is, stalling, then they would still say, why don't you just merge with them and,
Right.
Work together with them instead of having a competing.
That's right. That's what they'd say.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. We'd have to take a closer look at their RFP.
But I think the main difference is this RFP is looking for a meta language capability, which I don't think they are.
Yeah, I'm starting to see what they actually say they're doing. So the purpose of SIMP is to provide a standard modeling language supporting information modeling for sharing and federation.
Okay, I think we have that's immediately the answer then. If they are saying they want a modeling language and this RFP in several places says, no, we don't want a modeling language. Then that's the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they want a modeling language, and if in this RFP we consistently replace language by meta language, then we can say the differences here, they want a language and this is about a meta language.
Yeah, I think that's outstanding. What do you think, Conrad? Yeah.
I don't know either one of these RFPs very well, but the OMG will understand. The OMG people will understand that difference. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I didn't know how much you've been doing with the SIMP.
No, I haven't been doing anything with them.
Okay.
I am.
So yeah, in view of this, I don't know, maybe we could review the section in 6.1 again to be sure that we're saying a meta modeling, capability or does one of our use cases say what can be achieved or what can't be achieved now or what, without this meta language that would be achievable if we had it. You see what I'm saying?
Well, one of my comments was, and that I maybe you discussed it before I came into the meeting, was that in the RFP it basically says very early on, the language we are looking for is not a modeling language itself, but on a meta level, because it's not working. Saying it's necessary. It's really useful word necessary to do it in a to achieve the goal. It's necessary to do and to enable heterogeneous integration. It's using the word necessary, which was very strong. And so it's basically, and if you read it this way, a negation of synth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they would have one big modeling language, which this RFP excludes. So I'm not sure whether you discussed that, and my complaint was it wasn't giving any argument for it, why that's the case. But if this part is stronger, then we can point to this as the justification why this is different as SIMS.
Right. That's true. And I'd like to see that here, I think. But don't go too long. Maybe two sentences would be the max.
Right.
Number one. And then number two, it would be great if one of the test cases, one of the use cases said, okay, we're going to have this meta language then we're going to be able to, do such and such to achieve such and such. You know what I'm saying? How a meta language capability would be used to achieve the result, and if, oh, by the way, you could also, it'll illustrate why one language does all solution doesn't solve the problem, that'd be all the better.
Right. That will be a great use case.
Yeah.
So I think we should ask Till to rewrite one of the use cases for that. I mean, he seems to be most familiar with the use case.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the wordsmithing like live here, but it'll be something like this.
Yeah.
It's very slow.
Yeah.
And the office ends.
Oh, that's outstanding. Now that I see it coming through.
Which section are you editing? Just.
I don't have the numbers.
That's
it's the one with related work.
6.32 second bullet.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just incredibly slow here. I don't know if it's just me.
Can I make another suggestion? Okay, so it says at the top, the SIMP is intending to provide.
Yeah.
What you could put in past tense by say requests.
Ah, okay.
A modeling language.
Okay.
Do we need to suggest that the two efforts may be complementary?
I don't know if you want to get into that.
No, I wouldn't. Because there's a lot of people against it.
In contrast, it is the opposite.
Oh, I see. Do I say in contrast? Okay, I'll just take out in contrast then.
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I like it, I gotta say.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, so let's move down. Maybe in the interest of time, we could maybe just move to 6.5.
Looks good to me too, by the way.
Okay, good. What's going on here in 6.5 with the italics? This address is 0.4. I think these are just intended to be reminding editorial comments for us.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, links. Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll let Till worry about deleting those when the time comes. So yeah, 651. Right. So we're talking about providing a specification for the following relationships, but we're not really giving talking about relationships here. We're talking about specific kinds of, I guess, what we're now calling OSMs. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just realized that some of the things I typed didn't make sense. My point was just probably formulation or which is clear to somebody who knows more about what this actually is supposed to be about. But it's promising a list of relationships and then says something like bullet point modeler logic theories.
Mm-hmm.
Theory is not a relationship.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That was my, you know, it's maybe nitpicky, but it confused me.
Yeah. Let's see. So what should we change this to? Because on the one hand, the idea of the heterogeneous ontologies is kind of one of the crucial use cases, and the problem being that it's not a relationship; it's what's constructed by relationships. What if we took out relationships? Proposal shall provide a specification of a meta language for the following, and then say relationships between the components of logically heterogeneous logical theories. Relationships for the components of modular logical theories. Relationships between logical theories and their approximations. You see what I mean? I'm worried.
Yeah, it's definitely better. It definitely makes more sense. I wonder whether it will be helpful to give an example.
Well, we refer back to the use cases.
Okay. Well, I mean, you need to go at some point to back to the use case and see the use cases really give concrete examples for these relationships. For example, relationships between the components of logical heterogeneous theories, or whatever word we will replace with that. That sounds rather vague. If you just say importation, as an example, then people know what it's about, as one example.
Well, I could maybe use importation in, because the idea of the heterogeneous logical theory is a little more than just importation.
No, I'm not saying that it's only importation. I'm just saying, as an example, it could be, what else could it be?
Well, importation makes sense for the other bullet, like the modular logical theories.
Okay.
So how does that sound now, what I just wrote in there?
Creates much better.
Okay.
I'll say that again. I think it's best to have this section be fairly terse, just state the requirement, and then do what you've done. Is go back to the use case for an example, and if the use case doesn't really do that, then maybe you could beef up the use case. Okay, because there's no limit on the size of 6.1. Okay, but here, just the facts is what they want, I think.
So what we have here is sufficient.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so down at 652, the second bullet, there's something missing there. The meta language shall provide syntactic constructs for something.
Yeah, the funny thing is it should provide constructs for, and then it looks like a list of things it should provide for, but the next sentence is the meta link shall not provide its own constructs. So it's almost like a contradiction. So I wasn't sure whether this was just a formatting error where this bullet with white bullets should be just on the same level as the other bullets, or you know, something weird was going on there.
What is going on there?
Well, sometimes the not is okay if it's the last bullet.
Yeah, but, I mean, in this case, if it's the first one, you rather should take it out and just make it its own bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what was there originally.
Also, the sentence, I mean, it really doesn't make sense. I know what's intended to be expressed here, but it, the way it's worded, it doesn't make sense. The meta language shall not provide its own construct for expressing sentences. That is impossible. Unless, because you want to say, you know, for example, theory A is a conservative extension of theory B. That is what I just said was a sentence. What you mean is, shouldn't include constructs which are intended to replace the sentences of the object language.
Yeah.
Or of the, you know, but it obviously the meta language itself has sentences. So the.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at the, let's see, the original. So I'm thinking maybe take this bullet out.
Well, the second half of this bullet is good, though.
Yeah. See, so I would say put it here.
The meta language shall not be designed to replace the or constructs which are intended to replace the conforming logical languages, but rather whatever the sentence was there followed them.
Right. Well, how does that look now? What I just did. So I took that bullet out, moved it just before. That the meta language shall inherit the object language aspects of conforming logical languages.
Of the conforming languages.
Oh, conforming. Sure. Does that sound okay?
I'm not sure what an aspect is.
Yeah, that was in the original language. Okay, so where did that come from? She'll inherit.
I think what we want to say is the constructive language is not supposed to replace the conforming conforming logical languages.
Right? What if we change aspects to constructs?
Constructs, okay. No, the language doesn't inherit the constructs. It is wrapping. You're using language in order to wrap, you know,
right.
or combine constructs from the conforming logical languages. But it's not the case that the language itself gets these features, right?
How's that? Shall not replace.
Right.
Okay.
But now you've lost inheritance. So what was it that you were inheriting before?
Well, and I guess that's Fabian's point. I mean, in the sense that it's a logic, it's a meta language. It really doesn't inherit anything. Right? There's no notion of inheritance there. So there's no, because essentially the idea was, you know, that because this is a meta language, we're not providing yet another ontology language. And so to the extent that you would want to write down, some axiom in an ontology, it would not be written in ontoIOP. It would be written in OWL, or common logic. And then what this meta language is doing is then kind of piecing them together in a heterogeneous case. But there is no notion of an object level sentence in this meta language. Right, so you can't write down new axioms for an ontology using just the the meta language that we're requesting here.
But it's got to have, what is the relationship to the constructs of the conforming logical language, to the constructs, I should say.
Well, so the constructs of the object language constructs of the conforming languages would be things like, sentences saying, every course has an instructor. You write that down in OWL or Common Logic,
well,
whatever, right?
I guess the relationship is that you can basically embed these things, and then the semantics is carried over, right? So the language is such a way that at least for fully conformant languages, that you can embed them in this requested language without changing the semantics.
Right.
Is that a sense of inheritance?
Well, I would just, okay, so we got the, so as you say, your example is you have an OWL sentence. Okay, so now what do I do with the meta language
to relate
that sentence to another sentence that's in a different language?
Well, that's the meta logical relationship in 6.5.1.
Okay. So what does this do?
This is just kind of a, a scoping requirement that's saying this meta language is not in the business of proposing yet another ontology language. It's primarily concerned with either combining ontologies written in other languages or describing their relationships.
Okay, yeah. So I see the previous bullets are scoping it down as well.
Yeah.
And so the last bullet, which I don't really have the formatting here very good, but the meta language shall provide constructs for, is that the same, is that another bullet in this?
No, that's at the high level. Yeah, that's a bullet in 6.5.2, yeah.
So the first three say things it's not going to do.
Right.
And the last one says what it will do.
Exactly.
Well, the first one says it's also positive, right? The meta language shall be applicable to different objects.
Yeah, that should be a bullet, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how it looks for you, but sometimes it seems to me that the bullets are off. Or that the first bullet is not showing.
Well, the formatting is not going to, it's not going to be a Google document. It's going to be in Word. So
probably the first sentence is just missing. The other in 6.5.1 and 6.5.3, there's a leading sentence.
Right. Right.
And maybe that leading sentence needs to go in there.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure what that leading sentence would be. But are people happy with the content, though, now that this is, people happy with this meta language shall not replace the object language constructs of the conforming logical languages?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, okay, we need to think of a sentence here. Oops. Back. Also shall. I don't know. I don't like that wording, but. Okay. Let's see. Moving down. So Christoph comment 654, is it sufficient to say by translation, or does such a translation need to satisfy certain criteria?
I'm not sure whether at this point we want to restrict ourselves, but just saying by translation, by just saying that, we might run the risk of being too open and getting responses with kinds of translations that we cannot use at all.
Yeah, not sure. I see your point. But I'm not sure what we want to have here, because it's applicable to any logical language which has a formal semantics.
And indeed,
how about if we just say defined with respect to another, instead of using the word translation, just defined with respect to another logical language?
Well, I think in that regard, the sentence is clear to me that we need to...
Because it's not talking about translation. I mean, you're right. I mean, somebody reads that and they think, oh, they're talking about doing a translation, and that's not the point of this sentence.
No, it's not. But I think that's... Okay, I'm obviously biased and blind about this, but that's already clear from the sentence as it is now, at least to me. But I was just wondering whether we should be more specific about the kind of translation, but then on the other hand,
I think translations is discussed in the third bullet.
Okay, yes. I mean, not exactly. Okay, shall preserve the... Okay, well, it is, you're right. Translation shall preserve the semantics, yeah. And I think that's exactly the kind of translation we are interested in.
Right, and that's the criteria you're looking for.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, defined... How about this? Which has a semantics defined by a semantics-preserving translation to another logical language?
Okay, I'm happy with that.
There's now a lot of semantics in the sentence, but I right now I don't know how to phrase it.
I take that back. I think because you're defining the semantics with respect to the translation, it has to be. It can't be semantics preserving.
Yeah, it's in a way circular, this argument.
Yeah, so that's why I'm just leaving that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to claim that your point is addressed by bullet three.
Okay. I tend to agree with this now after the discussion.
So in 656, can you summarize your comment there?
Wait, first of all, about 654, should I delete my comment?
If you feel that it's being addressed.
Yes, I do. Okay, I will delete it and quickly comment it in the chat.
So
656, and you would like... Okay, wait. Any logical theory that occurs in the context of the meta language. Yeah, right. Well, by occurs, I tend to understand that we're talking about literal fragments of logical theories that are embedded in a verbative way. Whereas I think here we also mean that that we refer to externally existing ontologies just by writing down their URI, and I'm not sure whether the word occurs also captures this intended meaning.
So you want to actually say refer to, that is referred to?
Yes, unless referred to excludes the verbatim inclusion. And I'm not sure whether that occurs or that is referred to, whether that's overdoing it. Maybe a completely different word is needed. Any ideas?
No, maybe just say or is referred to, or that
okay.
is referred to.
Okay.
Okay.
And I shall also document this in the chat and close the comments.
So in 662, Peter has a comment.
I was just bringing this up. I mean, I don't know whether this section is supposed to be more inclusive. If so, I'm just bringing this up on the recent discussion on ABD logic. I believe that's from OMT, is it, or is it? But at least it's from Hanson, who has some role in OMG.
I'm not aware of too many details about ABD.
It is from what was originally triggered by a discussion between Hanson and John. John? Oh, no, John is not in the chat, but it's, I mean, that's what the mailing list link refers to. I think it's not any kind of official OMG statement.
Mm.
But Hanson's, there's not an OMG statement, but Hanson obviously has some sort of ontology-related role in OMG.
Yes, it refers
Hanson
related work that is going on in OMG, right?
Right, but Hanson isn't involved in that. He's involved with it, I think, because...
I'm just bringing this up. I mean, feel free to ignore or include. But supposedly, Hanson feels that this has a better... this helps better when one needs to work with mathematics than or the other logics that people have been dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to put it in?
Sorry, I've lost track of where you are.
662.
Six, 662.
There's a comment by Peter.
662.
Is ABD logic logic standard or what
no.
is it?
No, this section's not really talking about other standards.
No, I'm just trying to find out what ABD logic, I mean, what its status is.
I think it's been suggested by Hanson and others to give SysML, which is an OMG standard, to give this a formal semantics. I don't exactly recall the official status of developing this formal semantics. I think it's a standard, OMG standardization in progress. I could look it up from the email.
Yeah, no, but I guess insofar as it's being proposed for...
It's not an OMG effort.
Right.
He might be referring to some fragment of DL. Or he has other interests in his own kind of logics that he might be referring to. The phrase ABD logic doesn't Google anything.
Yeah.
It may be mistyped.
Yeah, we don't have any citations for it, I mean, that's the thing.
Feel
free to ignore.
Okay, maybe we'll just leave it open now.
Always bring
it
back in when it develops a little more working relationship with the logic people.
But leave your comment in so that it reminds us later on.
Comment that link.
Okay, so there's Spodden's comment lower down, the Common Logic Extension, IKL, suggesting to delete the insofar... And,
well, I
would agree with that.
It sounds snarky, and
yeah.
Nobody has identified problems with consistency. Just nobody has proven that it's consistent.
Right. So we'll just erase that. And then fuzzy logics. So everything else. So Christoph observes, right, leave out. Everything else in this list is a specific language, whereas fuzzy logics is more like a family of logics. Do we want to keep this in or not?
Or the question is whether there is any concrete language in which fuzzy logic has ever been implemented.
Right.
Well, it's definitely been implemented. I don't know if there's a standard language.
It doesn't, for this section, it doesn't have to be a standard. Like OBOL, for example, or TICL are not standards either.
Well, fuzzy logic's definitely been implemented. The question is, what do they call it? You could just refer to fuzzy logic implementation.
Right, but maybe, okay, well, let's hope that they use something that comes close to a language. I mean, that something that you would use as a file format. If it's only been, let's say, implemented by certain Prolog data structures or predicates, then I think that wouldn't count as a language implementation by our criteria.
It would take a while to figure out. The phrase fuzzy logic implementation gets you pages and pages of...
Yeah. Well, maybe we could just leave it. It's... Because it's not specifying anything specific, then, you know, these languages include fuzzy logics, and so it'd be implied there would be any implementation of a fuzzy logic.
I think it's just an open list, so if this makes it troublesome, then we'll just remove it.
Yeah. Or remove it.
Just remove the fuzzy logics. I mean, there's no point in, I mean, these languages include, so it's not, nobody says that this is a complete list.
Right, so any objections to removing it? I mean, I'm happy to remove it. Alright. So then down in 6.7, proposals should discuss the rationale for the list of logics and logic translations whose conformance they establish. So then it says, so Christoph's comment here. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on here. I think I might have to leave this for Till. I'm not really sure what is being said. Okay, further down, proposals should discuss the role of API. I think that should be and instead of and. Six eight evaluation criteria. Proposals covering a broader range of features and of examples will be favored. An initial set examples is provided. I guess that's referring to the use cases, isn't it?
No, there is a list of. Oh, okay. I thought it was there was a list for logical languages which should be covered, including logic, OWL, you know. But that actually is also later in the same bill in 6.8. So maybe you're right. Maybe it is use cases. Should say
it. It should say. I think it should be use cases instead of examples.
Okay. That makes sense.
Oh, no, actually, no. I think it's talking about examples of whatever, like examples of DOL. Is this referring to, like, examples of DOL? Using some preliminary syntax for the meta language, there's a footnote here that doesn't refer to anything.
Yes.
Maybe
it's examples for, how does how the language addressing this RFC would be realized. I think that that was the intention. But these examples are currently missing from
what it's from. Well, I'm not really sure if that's something that should even be here. I mean,
I'm
you don't want to
give
examples.
Either, but I think, well, maybe we could leave this for till. I think, well, he wrote this and he had something in mind, but then on the other hand, I think that he had in mind including some, well, dull snippets in there, but I agree with you that I'm not sure that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, because this is an RFP. I don't think we want to be giving examples.
Yeah.
Okay, let's leave this for till. We've had discussion. Maybe you can capture that in the chat. Yeah.
And by the way, did we skip over one comment that I have made already in the previous section that proposals should discuss the rationale for the list of logics and logic stations, or did we just quickly
I missed that.
One page before.
Yeah.
So my concern was just that this paragraph is not at all explicit about what should be discussed.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this paragraph either. These paragraphs are kind of very cryptic. I hadn't noticed how cryptic they were before.
Mm. But the other paragraphs in this section do make explicit what should be discussed in what way, but this one doesn't. But then on the other hand, I have no idea how to fix it, otherwise I would have fixed it.
So let's flag this as another thing that Trail has to take a closer look at.
Okay.
Yeah, we're running out of time now. We're at our time limit. So then 6.8, the evaluation criteria, Fabian has a note here. Yeah, what does orthogonal syntax mean? That's a good question. We did notice this before. I mean, I can see compact syntax, but I'm not sure what orthogonal syntax means.
And even there, I'm not sure what that means, because, I mean, how do you find compact? Less number of operators? So,
yeah.
You know, propositional logic which only has a Scheffer stroke and nothing else a better syntax because it's more compact? Number of operators? I don't think so.
By compact, we mean something programming languages, for example, that whatever Python looks more compact than Java, but I'm not sure how to express this in a sound way.
Yeah, I would say
sometimes the word lexical is used for that, to say lexically compact, meaning the actual written program is physically on the page more compact.
Yeah.
Good idea. I think lexical compactness is the thing we're talking about here.
Yeah. I suggest maybe just removing it. It's kind of a vague criteria to value.
Well, this is Terry. One measure of compactness is the number of, the fact that you don't have conflicting or overlapping syntax among different operators. So you know, compact means that you have a minimum number of operators for the purposes of the language.
Right, yeah, but this is not necessarily better.
Yeah,
you might have a very verbose very verbose expression that you have to write, right?
So it depends on if your purpose is to be able to write it, for example.
Yeah, I would say just taking this out. Unless people here are old enough to remember APL, what a beautiful compact language that was.
It was very lexically compact.
It was very compact, yeah. Just couldn't write it in ASCII. But. So I'm going to delete. Or should we just leave it here with a note to tell if he feels strongly about it?
I think we can agree.
Okay.
To leave it. I meant to give him the. I mean, maybe he has something in mind which we don't see, but unless he can specify it much better than any of the options we just had, we should probably recommend it.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of the comments. So I think we made a pass through. We hit all the comments.
Yeah, Michael, since you've already deleted it, can you capture the deletion onto the chat? There's no trace. Maybe there is. Don't worry.
Undo. There you go. I undid it.
Okay. Yeah, let me copy it and paste it.
No, I just undid it. We'll leave it there for now.
And leave a comment or?
Yeah.
No, I can comment on the chat.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, the consensus is to remove this, but
right. Okay.
You deleted it too early. Do whatever you want now.
All right. Okay, so do we want to delete it and just leave a note in the chat, copy it into the chat and say this was deleted?
Yes, that's
okay.
Exactly what I
okay. do. Good, okay. So I'll re-delete. Okay. All right, so that gets us to the end. Are there any other comments? Okay, so I guess you have to have this in on Monday, and so we'll be able to convert this into words.
Yeah, Michael, I'm not sure about that last sentence. About 6-8?
6-8.
Did you leave, you left an initial set of examples as provided?
Oh, yeah, that... I'm going to leave that as a comment for Till. Let's see, what did he mean by that?
Okay, sorry, I wasn't following as well as I should have.
Okay, so any other comments then?
Do we have a meeting 2 weeks from now?
It has to be in on Monday. But I guess there could be a meeting in 2 weeks. I guess that would be the default, yeah.
Okay.
You're supposed to, they're supposed to try to read it and give comments, but often you don't end up getting them, till verbally at the meeting, but you might get some email comments before then.
Okay. Okay. Well, if that is, we'll wrap up here, and hopefully there's enough here to submit. I think the main thing that has to be done is just elaborating those the use cases a bit more. I think that seems to be the pain point. But everything else looks like it's pretty good.
Well, the use cases are worth spending time on because that's what's going to motivate them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So talk to everyone later.
Okay. See you, Michael.
Great.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks. See you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.